Rabbi Bieler. I want to return the favor and say how much of a privilege and a pleasure it is for me to be able to work with you. One of the highlights of being here at YU is to have the opportunity to interact with someone with such tact and wisdom and thoughtfulness. It's really a pleasure. I want to acknowledge the presence of Rabbi Chai Arbisfeld, who's here this morning, and to thank him on behalf of not only the hundreds who come, but the thousands who hear, for the great magnanimity and chesed that you and your family have done to endow this program and the women's program. This is an extraordinary contribution, and we are all very, very significantly in your debt, and we thank you very, very much. I want to thank Phil Moskowitz, who's involved with putting together this program, for inviting me to come. Not just to come, but to come back. It's nice to be here once. It's nice even more so to be here more than once. And I also want to acknowledge my chavrusa this morning, Rabbi Shalom Rosner, who's going to be following me here at Kol El Yom Rishon to make a siyum on Seder Moed. He is just an amazing, extraordinary young Rebbe, Rosh Yeshiva here at the Yeshiva. He's a product of our Yeshiva. And for those of you who don't know, he's on every day with Daf Yomi and has a following of thousands, mamish thousands, all over the world who listen to him. Here's a young man who is not only a Talmud Chacham in his own right, but is able to have such an impact on so many people. And it's really it's a privilege for me to be able to share the podium with him today and to anticipate the Siyum on Seder Moed that will follow. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to be present because I have to do Midreshet Yom Rishon after I'm finished with you. But a big Yeshar Koach to Rabbi Rosner and to all his physical Talmidim and virtual Talmidim, and to wish him and them many more years of Koach to continue this Machzor of Shas and many more thereafter. In November of 1095, the Pope preached a crusade that was designed to save the city of Jerusalem, the holy city and the Holy Land, to liberate the holy city and the Holy Land from the hands of the infidels. The infidels, who had control over the Holy Land and the holy city at that time, were the Muslims. The Muslims had already control over the Holy Land and the holy city since the 7th century, when they conquered it, and for all kinds of reasons that need not detain us now, the church felt that it was already time to recapture the Holy Land from the Muslims. It was Shanginik, so many centuries that the Muslims had it. Now, at the end of the 11th century, it's time for the Christians to take it back. And in 1096, the crusade begins to gather steam, leaves France and goes to Germany, and finally, 3 years later, in 1099, makes its way, in fact, to the Holy Land and the Holy City, and Jerusalem is conquered by the Christians in 1099. Takes them 3 years to get from Western Europe to the Middle East, to Eretz Yisrael, and to conquer. Very early on, in the spring of 1096, the Crusaders are moving through Germany and destroy significant major Jewish communities in northwestern Germany on the Rhine River, on the Rhine Valley. Three very famous communities that we knew about beforehand. There's actually a Rosh Tevis that we know them by, Kehilot Shum. There are a lot of takonos that we have from Kehilot Shum. Shum stands for Speyer, Vermeisa, and Magenza. Speyer, Worms, and Mainz, three cities along the Rhine River. And these communities are destroyed, certainly attacked and significantly weakened and in some cases destroyed by the Crusaders in the first half of 1096. We actually know not only the names of the cities, but we actually know the dates on which these cities were attacked. We know them primarily because we have a number of crusade chronicles that describe the events, written some half century after the events happened. Three or four major crusade chronicles, we call them, describe what happened as the crusades were making their way through Europe. The crusade chronicles themselves say, and also the Latin sources that we have that describe the crusades also say, that the Crusaders said to themselves, why do I have to wait? Why do I have to wait 3 years until I finally vaxize, till I finally show up to kill infidels in the Holy Land and to wrest, W-R-E-S-T, control of the Holy City from the infidels? If I have infidels in my own backyard, I could be mekayim the mitzvah of harigas infidels already right now. Why do I have to schlep for 3 years? And Nebuch, the Jews, were obviously considered the arch-infidels. We were accused. We were accused until 1964 of being responsible of deicide for having killed the God or one of the members of the Godhead of Christianity. So therefore, what could be worse than deicide? So Jews always were punished and were persecuted because of that. But now we have an opportunity. If our focus is to be anti-infidel, so we don't have to wait, we could do it right now. And so they destroy these communities, and we find all the details in the Chronicles. I Zirax for you, Dafka, to start today, one of the kinis on Tisha B'Av. Because on Tisha B'Av, and you'll see in a minute, or in a few minutes, why that's particularly significant, on Tisha B'Av we make reference to the Crusades. And we make reference to the Crusades in four different kinos. Rav Soloveitchik used to say two of them and used to skip two of them. There's a whole mesorah of what kinos to say and what kinos to skip. Pretty much almost every year, the Rav would skip the same kinos. If you look at the book that Rav Abila referred to earlier, you'll find that some of the kinos have commentary on it and some of the kinos don't have commentary on it. The good bet is, if it doesn't have a commentary, he didn't say it. So two out of the four we don't say, two out of the four we do say, the first two. The first kina about the Crusades is sort of a generic kina. How sad it is, how terrible it is, what's going to happen to the Mesorah of Torah. We have now such a great tradition that is jeopardized in terms of its being transmitted from generation to generation. Who's going to answer our shilas? Who's going to teach us a Nedarim and Nazir? That the whole Shalshelas HaKabbalah is in danger of being destroyed. So it's sort of a general kina bemoaning the sadness of the impact of the destruction of these communities on the transmission of Torah and Torah teachings. But then we come to a second kina, Mi'iten Rosh Yimayim, which is exclusively, virtually, and certainly directly historical. It is an unusual phenomenon to find such an explicitly historical kina, where we have names, and when we have dates, and when we have numbers. Most of the time, the kinis and the slichas are more generic, they're more poetic as opposed to historical. But this kina is particularly historical and tells us the following, the top of the first page. The second line, V'akone mar al haruge ashpira, bisheni bishmonebo. When was ashpira ishpire? When was shpire attacked? Basheni in the second month, bishmonebo on the eighth day of the second month. The first month being Nisan, so the second month is Iyar. So on Ches Iyar is when Shpayer was attacked. Next paragraph. Ubamar Yigoni va'atzbi yileh lachbira kilos hakodesh harigasam ayom b'zachra kehal vermeiza b'chuna u'b'chura pa'amayim kitshu shem hamiyucha b'mora. We now move from Shpayer to Worms, and the community of Worms was twice attacked. They were Mekadesh Shem Shamayim on two occasions. Number one, Be'esrim Ushlosha B'chodesh Ziv L'Tahara. On the 23rd, Chodesh Ziv is another way of saying Chodesh Iyar. So it's the same month. In the 23rd of the month of Iyar. So from the 8th to the 23rd, it took them those days, those number of days, to go from Spire to Worms. That was the first one. And second, U'bachodesh HaShlishi. Chodesh HaShlishi is Chodesh Sivan, B'kriyas Halel L'Sharara, during the time when Halel is being recited. Now, the first time I read this, you're shaking your head. When is it? Oh, so you say Shavuos. So I thought there are two options. One option is, when do we say Halel? So one option is maybe Rosh Chodesh, because we're familiar with saying Halel and Rosh Chodesh. And the other option is Shavuos. So, contrary to your extraordinary diuk and ha'ara, it turns out that in fact it is on Rosh Chodesh. And this might be a raya that Taka used to say, Halel on Rosh Chodesh. It turns out that it's Rosh Chodesh Sivan. How do we know? We'll see it. We'll see very shortly. We'll see very shortly about 12 sources that talk about the significance of Rosh Chodesh Sivan, particularly for the community of worms. Then in the next paragraph, Va'al adire kahal magenza ha'hadura, in the community of Mainz. And then for some inexplicable reason, I cut off the line that I should have saved. The very last, the next line after where I cut off, says, V'chodesh ha'shlishi bishlishi. The Lashon of the Kino is V'chodesh ha'shlishi bishlishi, which means it's on the third day of the month of Sivan. So we're going now in chronological order. Ches Iyar is Shpayer. Chav Gimel Iyar and Rosh Chodesh Sivan is Worms. And Gimel Sivan is Mainz or Magenza.
Did it circle back to Worms or something?
No, because it was in order. It was Rosh Chodesh Sivan and Gimel Sivan.
No, I'm saying it says in Worms that it was 2 days.
Yeah.
Chav Gimel. So was it like a circle back to that? Did it Chav Gimel and then they pulled out and they came back in Rosh Chodesh?
What took them so long? We don't know exactly what happened during those 2 days. If you look at the Crusade Chronicles, there were attempts to try to make a deal with them. The ruling authorities try to interject themselves to try to help them. It was a whole sort of gekocht in Worms during that week. It's not like they left and took a vacation and came back and did the job a second time. For greater detail, you have to look at the Crusade Chronicles. This is a distillation. And then they came to Mainz, to Magenza on the 3rd of Sivan. So this is, we're familiar with this time period, because this is the time period in which we are now finding ourselves, lo and behold, this is the time period between Pesach and, Shavuos. Now, this is 1096. This is in 1096. In Hebrew, Tat Nu, Tof Nun Vav. These are known as Gzerot Tatnu, 1096, in the spring of 1096. The crusade was announced in the fall/winter of 1095. It was announced in France. We have a letter. We have a letter responding to a letter from the French Jews to the German Jews. The French Jews wrote to the German Jews and said, "We are panicking because the Pope just called a crusade, and we're really nervous." And the German Jews write back to the French Jews, and one of these amazing ironies of history, Kinderlach, we feel for you, we feel your pain, here's some money to try to bribe a little bit, and close, please find a donation to your bribery cause. We're going to actually be mispalo for you, but you should know that we don't have a concern, we're not worried, everything will be okay with us, because we have a really wonderful relationship with the ruling authorities, and whereas our hearts go out for you, we're not worried about ourselves. Halacha l'maisa, what happened was, lehefach, French Jews emerged virtually unscathed from the Crusades, and German Jewry suffered a crushing and devastating blow. It's one of these misunderstandings, one of these misreadings, it's ironic misreadings, where early on German Jews say, it will not happen here, already in 1096. Now, conflation of dates that happened to fall between Pesach la'atzeres is very relevant. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tav Tzadi Gimel, the bottom of the first page, the Shulchan Aruch here works through, and we're not going to have time to work it through ba'arichas, the various minhagim that we have on Sfira. So we know that there are two basic minhagim on Sfira. One minig starts from right after Pesach all the way through until Lag BaOmer, which is today, Me'en Yonah D'Yoma. The other one starts from Rosh Chodesh Iyar and extends beyond Lag BaOmer and goes till very close to Shavuos, where however you line up the 33 days. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Tav Tzadi Gimel, Simen Tav Tzadi Gimel Seif Beis, Nagim Shelo Lehistaper Ad Lag LaOmer, Sheomrim Sheoz Posku Milamus. Earlier on in Seif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the Misa of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, which is the most common event associated with the Nihuge Avelos on Sfira, and says that we have some kind of a Mesorah that says that they died. The Gemara says, Shekulu Mesa mi Pesach Vadatzeres, but there's a Mesorah that says that they stopped dying, She'az Pasku mi Lamos on Lag BaOmer, and therefore we it's only until Lag BaOmer that there's an Isser of cutting one's hair. The Ramah says, "Umemedinos elu einoagin kedvarav ella mistaprim biyom Lamed Gimel Umar Ben Bo Ktsa Simcha. Shulchan Aruch said that you have to wait until Lamed Dalid, and the Ramah says no, you can also already do it on Lag BaOmer itself. Ve'en l'staper ad Lag BaAtzmo V'lo Mi BaErev. However, it's only the day of Lag BaOmer, not on the day on the night before. Mi'u if this year Mchal BiYom Aleph. So then there's a heter Nagin l'staper BiYom Vav already Erev Shabbos L'Kavod Shabbos. In Seif Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Nagim Listaper Barosh Chodesh Iyar V'Tos Hu Biyada. Some people have a minhag to cut their hair on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, but that's a mistake. And the Haggah says, the Ramah adds, Miu Baharbe Mekomos Nagim Lihistaper Ad Rosh Chodesh Iyar. That's the other minhag. The Ramah has the other minhag that we start from the very beginning, and we start only with Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Until Rosh Chodesh Iyar, you can do what you want. V'osan lo yistapru milag ba'omer ve'elech. If you're going to start in Rosh Chodesh Iyar, you have to go all the way through, and you can't stop on Lag BaOmer. And he says at the end, you can't cut it. You can't cut the rope at both ends. You can't say, well, I'm going to start on Rosh Chodesh Iyar and I'm going to end on Lag BaOmer. You can't take the coolest from both. You have to stick to your minhag. Either you start from the beginning until Lag BaOmer, you start from Rosh Chodesh until the end. Zakta Taz, on the bottom right-hand corner, where it is underlined, the Taz says, in the whole discussion here, we don't have time to get into. V'afilu hachi, nogin k'tzas avelus, machmas gezeras tatnu, shahisa ba'ashkenaz bein pesach la'atzeres. That in addition to the Avelus that is generated by the Misa of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, there's an additional overlay of Avelus, particularly for Bnei Ashkenaz. We also factor in, we consider as well, the Avelus of the Crusades, Gzeras Tatnu, which is 1096, Shehoysa Ashkenaz in Germany, Bein Pesach La'atzeres. We know very well, we can document exactly the days Bein Pesach La'atzeres when this gezerah was perpetrated. Kamosha mafurish b'yitzris u'piyutim sh'ano omrim b'shabaso soheim sh'heim nisiyasdu kamokinos. That the minhag in Ashkenaz was in Germany was to say particular tfilos on those times, on those shabbosim, between Pesach and Shavuos, and describing what happened. Kach ne'ol anias daiti tam ha'minhag shalanu sh'ein nos'in achar lag ba'omer. We don't get married, says the Ramah, we don't get married after Lag BaOmer. We follow the minig that starts on Rosh Chodesh Iyar and goes all the way through until Umas Shavuos. Why do we, Ashkenazim, not start from right after Pesach and stop at Lag BaOmer, but rather start with Rosh Chodesh Iyar and go all the way through until Umas Shavuos? Because those days, beginning with Rosh Chodesh Iyar until Umas Shavuos, are exactly the days on which the Crusaders came to destroy our Elta Bubis and Zaydis, our old communities in Ashkenaz. So therefore, we prefer the second custom because it's not just a din in the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, it's also a din in commemorating the horrific events of the Crusades. But he says when it comes to cutting your hair, there's more kulis, and therefore we could do that after Lag BaOmer, Avol lehistaper vaday shari achar Lag BaOmer, the only thing that they wanted to aser mitam avelus was marriage. It's a simcha yisera, so fazoi vait, such a simcha that we really shouldn't do. That would be incongruous during the time that we're trying to commemorate the Crusades. Mashenken kodem lag baomer shemesu tamidei Rabbi Akiva umotol al kol ha'olam lehisabel b'shvilam. So there, echmiru tfei afilu v'tisporas. So till Lag BaOmer, we have the Misa of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So till Lag BaOmer, we're machmir on both. After Lag BaOmer, if we accept that they stop dying on Lag BaOmer, so what do we have after Lag BaOmer? After Lag BaOmer, we, who's the we, the Ramah, who lives in Krakow, who's a descendant of Ashkenazi Jews, who's a representative, an exemplar of Ashkenazi Jewry, we have an additional issue that we have to contend with even after Lag BaOmer, and that is the Gzeras Tatnu. So therefore, we extend the Nihugi Avelus beyond Lag BaOmer, but we only do it for minimizing a Simcha Yisera, namely a Chasana, as opposed to Tisporus, as opposed to cutting hair. Now, the fact that the Crusades occurred during this time was not lost on later commentaries as well. If you look at the top of page 2, I Xerox for you from the Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur. Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur is not just the Siddur, but the Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur is a kind of a mini Shulchan Aruch, because whenever he gets to any particular part of the davening that he wants you to say, he'll give you the background, and he'll fill in what events happened in those months in between the various parts of the davening, the various tfilos that he includes. And even when it comes to various tfilos, he doesn't just give you the tfilah, but he tells you all of the halachas that are relevant. So we come to the back of the Siddur. Noagin shalo lisa isha bein pesach le'atzeres. Shulchan Aruch ad lag ba'omer. Shalo laharbos besimcha b'yamim elu shemesu bohem talmidei Rabbi Akiva kidi isa b'perek habal yivimto. Right, so now we're starting today's Daf Gimel in Masachas Yevamos. Further on Daf Samach Beis, that's the Gemara about the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, that Shkulo Mesu mi Pesach v'adatzeres, so therefore we don't get married. Lake Tzu, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, uba avonosenu harabim, kama kihilos nechrevu ba'oso perek, b'gzeras tatnu ba'ashkenaz. So it's not just the Gemara knew from the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, but subsequent to that, subsequent to the 11th, end of the 11th century, we know that there's an additional overlay of mourning, of sadness during this time, namely Kama Kihilos Nechrevu. We know exactly their names and we know exactly their dates. And then he adds Bishnas Tav Tav Kuf Lamed Aleph, which is 1171, which is a whole other conversation, and then Ubishnas Tach Bipolanya, in the later significant massive destruction of Ashkenazi Jews, the Gzeros Tach V'Tat, known as the Chmelnitsky Massacre, 1648-1649, many of them, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, were also Nechrav during this time. So we see that the fact that the Crusaders struck early on in 1096 between Pesach and Shavuos has wags a tail, has implications, has a resonance later on as well. And then we come to the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan in Simen Tav Tzadi Gimel says at the beginning, Elu Yamim Shebein Pesach La'atzeres Muchzak Eitzel Kol Yisrael Zeh Shnos Meos Rabos Li'imei Din V'imei Evel. This time between Pesach and Shavuos, already for many hundreds of years, have been established as days of judgment and mourning. B'tnei Shebizman HaKotzer Azeh, during the short period of time, Mesu Yud Beis Elef Zugos Talmidei Chachamim Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. So the word Zugos here is another discussion. Some of the Makoros have 12,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and some of the Makoros have 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, which makes 24,000. But clearly, the Avelus of this time is rooted in the Misa of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Va'od, adds the Aruch HaShulchan, va'od ra'inu, she'ikre yemei ha'gzeros, bishnos me'os, she'avru, b'tzarfas v'ashkenaz, also hava b'yamim elu, kemevur me'hapiyutim, she'osu kadmonenu al shabasos elu, she'bein pesach la'atzeres, v'heim maleim kinim v'hege v'hi. They're full of sadness and upset and mourning and tragedy. So we know, here again, reference to the Gzeros of Tzorfas v'Ashkenaz. It's clearly a reference to, certainly including the Crusades, as we've seen, that happened during this time. So in addition to the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, there's a whole additional focus. Now, it's also just Agav Orcha. This is the time where Svarim tell us that Avarachamim was instituted, the Avarachamim that we say right before Ashrei on Shabbos was instituted, Kilos HaKodesh, Shemasu Nashim HaKadushas Hashem, Ane'ovim Banim V'chayim, V'mosim Lo Nefrodu. It's a reference to the communities that were destroyed by the Crusades. And that explains our minhag, that normally if it's a Shabbos Mevorachim, so we don't say Avarachamim, but if it's Shabbos Mevorachim Iyar and Shabbos Mevorachim Sivan, we do say Avarachamim. Vos Epis, why do we say Avarachamim for Shabbos Mevorachim Iyar and Shabbos Mevorachim Sivan? Now we understand exactly, because Iyar and Sivan was when the Crusader struck. This tefillah was originally instituted in order to commemorate the Crusades. So normally, the fact that it's a Shabbos Mevarchim, so we don't want to wallow in the tragedy and in the sadness of Kehilas HaKodesh Shema Sonar Shema Kedushas Hashem. But on the anniversary, Mamish, during Bein Pesach La'atzeres, we dafka go out of our way to say them all the time, every Shabbos, in order to make sure that we remember. What was not instituted after the Crusades was a particular Yom Tainis to commemorate the Crusades. One would have imagined that after these terrible events happened, Klal Yisrael would have decided that, you know, it's so terrible, we should have a special Yom Tainis in order to remember these events. That was not instituted. And it was explicitly not instituted because, in fact, there already was a Yom Tainis that was set aside to commemorate all Jewish tragedy, whether it happened on that day or did not happen on that day. And that day, of course, is Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av is already set aside. In the Kina that we just read, in the Kina Me'iten Rosh Yimayim, in the Kina that describes in great historical detail the specific names and dates of the communities that were destroyed, the next paragraph is, at the bottom of page 2, wait a minute, the Balakina asks a question. And the question is, why am I mentioning this today? Today is Tisha B'Av. I just told you 6.5 lines ago exactly when it happened. I just told you that it happened on days, all of those are not Tisha B'Av. They're months before Tisha B'Av. Ches, Iyar, Chav Gimel Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Gimel Sivan, Mahalt Nachnish by Tisha B'Av. Why am I mentioning it today in a kina that I'm reciting on Tisha B'Av if it didn't happen on Tisha B'Av? So the Baal HaKina himself directly addresses this question. Simona levavchem misbeid mar lekashra, kishkula harigasam lehisabelu lehisapra, kisreifas beis elokeinu ha'ulam v'habira. Parenthetically, that is an astoundingly bold comment that the Baal HaKina says that what happened to us in Germany, the destruction, the magnitude of the destruction, is equivalent to shkula. Shkula harigasam, the hariga of those great Jews who lived in these great communities that I just outlined for you. In Shpire of Armaizim Agensa, shkula harigasam, it's kedai. It is the equivalent to mourn for them. Gesreifas beis alokeinu, ha'ulam va'abira, like the beis hamikdash. We're setting aside here, where we're pointing out an equivalence between the churban of the Crusades and the churban beis hamikdash. We find this very often in the piyutim, not only for the Crusades, but for other tragic events that happen. The Baalei piyut associate the tragedy with the churban. It's mamish a churban. It's shkula to the churban. Then he says, v'chiyem lahosif moed sheva visavera. And since we do not add days of set aside times for mourning and for sadness and for brokenness, 4 words later, tachas kein. As a result, havyom hayom levyasi aorara. Therefore, today I'm going to raise my voice in sadness. So there's a yesod that's established here, or a yesod that's reflected here in this kina. Ein lahosif moed sheva visavera. We don't add days of mourning, of sadness. So even though I just told you that it didn't happen on Tisha B'Av, but nevertheless, tachas kein, hayom levyasi aorara, I mourn for it today. And so the Crusades become subsumed under the tainus of Tisha B'Av. Parenthetically, and I hope to end with this, this was used, and it's in the book, in the Rav Tisha B'Av book. This, the Rav, every single year when he got to this part of the Kinas, went on for a half hour why he was opposed to Yom HaShoah. He said, just like the Crusades are subsumed under Tisha B'Av, so the Holocaust is also subsumed under Tisha B'Av. Ein lahosif moed sheva visavera applies in the 20th century like it applied in the 12th century. And when we talk about Shpira, Vermeisa, Magenza, when we read about them on Tisha B'Av, we should be thinking Chaslavich and Berlin and Warsaw and Brisk. It's a different word. It's the same story. It's a different word. And today, namely Tisha B'Av, is the day when this commemoration should take place. I found it already in the Tshuvis of Rav Moshe Sternbuch, quotes a conversation that Rav Velvel had, the uncle, the Brisker Rav, Rav Velvel, the Grizz, Rabbi Soloveitchik's uncle, had with Rav Herzog in 1943, when Rav Herzog wanted to, was then the Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel, wanted to establish even an ad hoc fast day in order to respond to what was happening in Europe at that time. It was in November of 42 when the Yishuv in Israel first got the fullness of the news of what was going on in Europe, and the Brisker Rav opposed the establishment of such a fast day, and he based his opposition on this kina, Ein Lahosif Moed Sheva V'Saver. But I want to show you in the remaining time that whereas a overarching kindness was not established in order to commemorate the Crusades, there were local ta'anios that were established during this time, bein Pesach le'atzeres. There was in fact in Worms a fast day that was established on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and there was in fact in Magenza in Mainz a fast day that was established on Gimel Sivan. You remember, Speyer was Ches Iyar, Worms was first the 23rd of Iyar, and then Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Mainz was Gimel Sivan. Turns out that in the communities of Worms and in Mainz, there were local fast days for those cities, and one can trace them, and I'll do so in a short period of time, can trace them almost, or probably actually even into the 20th century. The Jews in these communities fasted on those days, even though Ein Lahosif Moed Sheva V'Savera is for Kol Yisrael. But the local communities were, in fact, Moisif days Moed Sheva V'Savera, each one in accordance with the event that happened to them. So in Worms, they chose the second of the 2 days, Rosh Chodesh, and we'll see, obviously, there's an issue about having a fast day on Rosh Chodesh. And in Mainz, they chose Gimel B'Siva. So the first earliest reference is from the Rokeach, at the top of page 3. Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yehuda, the author of the Rokeach, who was born in Mainz, spent most of his life in Worms. He was very much associated with the movement called Chassidut Ashkenaz, with Ashkenazi pietism, and his world was crumbling. He lost his wife and children during the Crusades, and he writes in the Hakadama to the Rokeach that the reason why he's writing this book is because he's mamish afraid that the Mesorah of Ashkenaz is in danger of being destroyed, of being forgotten. There was such a terrible upheaval at that time. The Baal HaRokeach lives until 1230. So he dies already well into the 13th century. He's panic-stricken that Ashkenazi Jewry is doomed. And so all the Mesorah, all the Torah Shebaal Peh Mesorah that was passed on is in danger of being lost. So that's why he writes in the Hakadama to the Rokeach, that's why he's writing this book. In Simen Reish Yudeis, which deals with fast days, he tells us about fast days that were established for various gzeros, and he says, 4 lines from the bottom, Bevermais, Worms, Misanin al gzera shahoya berosh chodesh sivan. They had a tainis, they fast on the gzera shahoya berosh chodesh sivan, and we now know exactly what he's referring to. Now we know exactly the gzera that was in Worms on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. V'nagu likros b'shachris b'rosh chodesh u'la'erev v'yachal v'dirshu. There's an issue here. What happens on Rosh Chodesh? We normally have a Rosh Chodesh laning. What happens if a tainis falls on Rosh Chodesh? What happens if a tainis? No, what happens if Asar B'teves can't fall on Rosh Chodesh? What happens if a tainis falls on Rosh Chodesh? Or what happens if a tainis falls on a Monday or a Thursday? So it's a similar phenomenon. Normally on a Monday and a Thursday we have a standard Kriya Satorah, the Parshas Shavua. So what happens if a tainis falls on a Monday or a Thursday? What happens if Tzom Gedalia? Yeah, but we don't fast on Rosh Chodesh. It was pushed off. No, we don't fast because we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. Right? It's not an issue. Their problem wasn't, oh my God, what are we going to lame? So therefore we can't have the tainis. The problem was the other way. The problem was we can't fast, so therefore we're going to push it off. So normally we say vayachal. We say vayachal and fishachris. But says the Rokeach, when it comes to the fast of Rosh Chodesh in this case, Nagu likros b'shachres b'rosh chodesh. The shachres maintains the regular standard. We don't bump the regular Kriya Satora for this tainus. Where do we express liturgically this tainus? Ulo erev for mincha v'yachal v'dirshim. The Beis Yosef and Simen Tav Kuf Ayin Tes. This is a simen that's devoted to the Seder Atvila on Ed Hak Ta'anios. You know, Hilchos Ta'anios, just like Maseches Ta'anios, deals with two kinds of Ta'anios. First, if you take the Gemara, for example, the first three prakim in Maseches Ta'anios deals with Ed Hak Ta'anios. So if Nebuch, there's no rain and it's terrible, so we establish a whole set of fast days in Eretz Yisrael in order to try to be Mesayre, Rachmei Shamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send rain. These are ad hoc fast days, and they move in ascending order of stringency if Hashem hasn't answered us yet. Then in the last parak of Ta'anios, then we get to the liturgically, ritually instituted Ta'anios that we are familiar with every single year. So Tavkuf Ayin Tes deals with the Seder Atfila of these ad hoc established Ta'anios. So he has a whole discussion here. This is the end of a long arichas. He quotes from a ran. He quotes mila b'mila from a long ran at the end of the second parak in Maseches Ta'anios. And he says, if you look six lines from the bottom, this is on the next entry on the right-hand side, Kishemisanen b'rosh chodesh. This is how the ran ends. Kishemisanen b'rosh chodesh eino b'din shetitcha pashas rosh chodesh memkomo. That if you set aside, somehow as a reingefallen, that there should be an ad hoc, temporary fast day established for Rosh Chodesh, don't think that that fast day is strong enough to overweigh the normal Kriyas HaTorah for Shachris. Adkan Lashono, Adkan, this is how the Ran ends his commentary on the second parak in Tainus. Tzushtels the Beis Yosef, v'chein kosov harokeach b'simen reish yudeis, v'zeh Lashono, v'vermais misanin gzera b'Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So the Beis Yosef brings the Rokeach as a proof that if there is such a tainus on Rosh Chodesh, you stick to the regular Rosh Chodesh Kriyas HaTorah. Meanwhile, the Rokeach is now being utilized already by a major Sephardi source in the 16th century. If you look on the left-hand side in the Chavis Yair died in 1702, Rabbi Yair Chaim Bachrach, and he died as the Rav in Worms. He spent some time in Worms, he wanted to become the Rav in Worms, and then they chose somebody else instead of him. He got very upset and very depressed, he left Worms. Finally, at the end of his life, he was already broken. At the end of his life in 1699, they invited him to come back to be the Rav in Worms. So he writes in his Tshuvas Chavis Yair, Simen Kuf Chavav, again, the whole conversation here will take us too far afield. V'hinei b'kihilasenu hakadosha. Kihilasenu hakadosha is Worms. That's where Rabbi Yair Chaim Bachrach is rooted. Actually, that's where he's buried. You can go today, Mamish, today, you can go to Worms right now, and you go to the Jewish cemetery. It's an amazing thing that the Jewish cemetery in Worms is as intact as it was before the Second World War as it is now. It was Mamish, totally not touched at all. You can go to Worms, to the Beis HaKvaris in Worms, and you'll find the kever identified, the kever of the Chavis Yair of Reb Chaim Yair Bachrach. V'hinei b'ki loseinu akadosha she'od hayom mis'anen gzeros tatnu v'kuftes. Kuftes is 1349. This is a reference to the destruction wrought in the wake of the Black Death. The 1340s, the Black Death decimated huge chunks of Europe, and the Jews were accused, after it was over, of being responsible for causing the Black Death, for poisoning the wells. And then, first of all, Jews themselves, Nebuch, died in the plague of the Black Death. And on top of that, those who were able to survive, many of them were killed as a punishment for having perpetrated the Black Death. So it was a tartel areyasa for the Jewish community. And Worms was hit. Worms was not only hit by the Black Death, it was hit by the aftermath of the Black Death. So he says that b'kilasenu, v'hinei b'kilasenu akadosha sh'od hayom isanen gzeros tatnu v'kuftes. He doesn't give us the exact date, but we're now already at the end of the 17th century, and they're still fasting in Worms in the 17th century for what happened in 1096. Right below it, I xerox from a tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Reicher, who was appointed the Av Beis Din in Worms in 1715. This is a great little shtickle. Rabbi Yaakov Reicher, one of the real Gedolei Yisrael, the Chok Yaakov, the Shvus Yaakov, he's appointed Av Beis Din in Worms in 1715. And then he tells us a story. Rosh Chodesh Sivan Tafayin Vav Lepak, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan in the year 1716, so this is his first Rosh Chodesh Sivan as the Av Beis Din in town. Shehoyachal B'Yom Vav happened that year, it fell on an Erev Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Sivan in 1716, the year after the Shvus Yaakov becomes the Av Beis Din, falls on a Friday. Shenoagu Lehisanos Po Vermaizo Miyom Gezeras Tatnu, that we have a Mesorah Ba'unz and Kihila to fast already from the days of the Crusades in 1096. Fog Mechagan, we're now from 1096, we're now holding already in 1716. We have a minig to fast. Now he adds something very significant. What is our minig to fast? Ad Achar Chatzos Hayom B'chol Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Our minig is we don't fast the whole day. We fast only the first half of the day until after Chatzos. Ubizman Mincha Gedola Mispalale Mincha Gedola. So what's the normal Seder Hayom? We fast in the morning. When it comes to Chatzos Mincha Gedola, we daven Mincha. V'achar kach Ochlin. And then we go home and we eat. Kedei shelo yis'anein b'Rosh Chodesh, tainus gomor. After all, it's halachically problematic. We are not allowed to have a tainus on Rosh Chodesh. But this event, this destruction of the Worms Jewish community was so repercussive in 1096 that they felt that they had to be kaveya in Worms. Remember, it's a local tainus, a tainus l'dairis. But in order to acknowledge the fact that it's problematic to fast on Rosh Chodesh, they were misakin, it should only be for the first half of the day. And then what do? They eat. And then, v'achakach mispalol and tefillah sarvus kefi minhagim kol hashanah. What was the particular issue? That's enough for now, but just another three lines. The issue was, u'kishachav Rosh Chodesh Sivan be'erev Shabbos, nagu lispalol mincha umayriv miyad achar sho'agimul mechavdalot sho'os achar chatzos. They used to do mincha and Ma'ariv, if it fell on Erev Shabbos very early, like 3 hours into after Chatzos, and then Umekatshin HaShabbos, and then they used to go home and make Kiddush. So they used to end up, the problem of the Shvus Yaakov was that they daven Ma'ariv very, very early. Normally, they didn't daven Ma'ariv very early. Normally, they daven Mincha at Mincha time, and then they ate, and then they daven Ma'ariv whenever they daven Ma'ariv. But the minhag was that if it was on Friday, what do you mean they ate? They used to do everything, all the tefillahs, right away, mincha and ma'ariv, and then they used to go home, and they used to eat. Because Shereisi zos temhesi ma'od aleihem, al shem espalul in tefillahs arvis, shelo bizmana kulayhai. The problem was they're davening ma'ariv too early. At some point, yeah, of course, you want to be ma'asif, me'yachol ala kodesh, you want to bring Shabbos in early, but you can't bring Shabbos in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday, or 3 o'clock, it's too early. And I'm screaming and yelling and garnish. Nobody listens to me. I'm the new rabbi in town. I see something that is halachically unacceptable, right? Things don't change, right? Azaygetes. What, rabbi? We've been doing this for many years, hundreds of years. And he continues, v'shamati. I'm not the first guy who came in and started to scream. All the chashiv and rabbanim who came before me, that's the way it is, rabbi. That's what was good enough for him. Was good enough for him. What do you mean? Who are you? 3 years later, he's out of there. In 1718, the Shuzah says, I'm done with Worms. And he goes to Metz. And Metz was also a kihila kedosha chashuva ma'od. So what do we see from here? The whole tshuva, the next page and a half, deals with the issue of davening Ma'ariv early. But agav grora, for us, we see that in 1716, they're fasting on Rosh Chodesh Sivan and Worms. On the right-hand side, I quoted from the Magen Avram, to the right of the Shvus Yaakov, the Magen Avram, quotes the Beis Yosef, because of Beis Yosef, Simen Tovko Fayin Tes, Anshei Kila Kedosha Vermaizim Mistanen Agzer Rosh Chodesh Sivan. The bottom right-hand corner, I quoted from the Pnei Yoshua, Rabbi Yaakov Yoshua Falk. He died in 1756. He was a Rav in Metz. He followed the Shmos Yaakov in Metz. And then he became the Rav in Frankfurt. And then he got himself fakrachen in the blotte of the controversy between Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz. And the Pnei Yoshua took Rabbi Yaakov Emden's side in the controversy. And the Balabatim in Frankfurt made his life miserable, and he forced him to resign, because Frankfurt was a strong pro-Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz community, and the Rav took the wrong side, so the Rav is out. And he had a very difficult life, the Pnei Yeshua. We know the Pnei Yeshua from his Chedushim on Shas. The Pnei Yeshua had a difficult life. At the end of Chela Gimel, in the Likutim, in the Pnei Yeshua, he quotes from the Shvus Yaakov, and he continues this story. In the end of the second line, Nasati libi liyashiv mina kila kadosha vermaiza shenogu lasanas brashchoder sivan adzeres tatnu adlachem incha gadol, etc. If you look to the last page, we move from worms to mites. So we see clearly two things. Number one is hagam, even though the Baal Hakina tells us ein lahosif moed shevev v'savera. In local communities, that was not the accepted policy. In local communities, there were maisif, in addition to Tisha B'Av. They didn't say in Worms that we're going to be nichlal, the commemoration of the Crusades on the Tisha B'Av. No, we're going to have our own day. We're going to have it on the second of the 2 days in which it happened on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It also tells us that when it says in the Kina, Bekriyas HaHalel, it's not Shavuos, but as I mentioned here earlier, there are a multiplicity of sources that clearly refer to Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and in the Crusade Chronicles that I mentioned earlier, it explicitly says Rosh Chodesh Sivan. The Baal Hakina is poetic, so he refers to it on the Hallel day. So he's a little bit more poetic. But in the Chronicles, where it's even more historically focused, it says explicitly Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Mainz, when was Mainz destroyed? Mainz was destroyed on the third day of Sivan. And so we find in the 15th century, the Maharil and the Sefer Minhagim of Rabbi Avram Klausner, that in Mainz, they taka fasted on Gimel B'Sivan. They taka fasted on Gimel B'Sivan. How does it come up? Because the basic halacha is, we'll start with the Maharil. The Maharil died in 1427. He was born in Mainz. He was a Rav in Mainz. He started a yeshiva in Mainz. So he durchgearbeit Mainz. That was his community. And first he says, Eino Omrim Tchina on the second line. Eino Omrim Tchina Merish Chodesh Sivan Adachar Yisru Chag Shal Shavuos. The meaning is, we don't say Tachnun. We don't say Tachnun already from beginning of Rish Chodesh Sivan all the way through. Right, so we have the Shlosh Yisimei Agbalah, and we have, you know, the Rish Chodesh, and then we have Yom HaMiyuchas. Right, Yom HaMiyuchas is a wonderful, wonderful day, the second day of Sivan, and then we have Shlosh Yisimei Agbalah, and we have Shavuos. So already we stop saying Tachnun already from Rish Chodesh. The Magensa, in my hometown, Zak the Heilige Maharil, the Magensa Omrim Tchino at Gimel Sivan, Ki Gimel B'Sivan Misanin Sham, B'chol Shana, Al Gzeira Shehoysa Sham, B'Oso Yom. We know exactly what he's referring to. What is the Gzeira Shehoysa Sham, B'Oso Yom? We're talking about the First Crusades, Sishon Ashtik Zeit, from 1096 to the middle of the 15th century. The Sefer HaMinhagim, below him, who's Rabbi Avram Klausner, was actually the Rebbe of the Maharil. He died in 1409 in Sifkat and Dalid. B'magensa noflin ad gimel sivin mishum tainis b'gzeras tatnu d'misanem b'chol shana v'shana gimel sivin. So we see that there's evidence that in the local community of Mainz, just like in the local community of Worms, they did establish a local fast that would commemorate the Crusades, this one on their day, and this one on their day, each one on the day in which they were destroyed. I want to end with the final resonance of the Crusades happening during Sfira, and to come back to an issue I briefly alluded to and can't really go into in great detail, and that is the issue of Yom HaShoah. So it's a whole fascinating and tragic conversation as to should there be, should there not be, and if there is going to be, when should it be? So somehow it's eingefallen that Yom HaShoah should be, when is Yom HaShoah? And Chaf Zayin Nissen. What is Chaf Zayin Nissen? The answer is nothing is significant about Chaf Zayin Nissen. There is no reason whatsoever why Dafka Chaf Zayin Nissen should be a Yachsen, should somehow be privileged, that that day should be a Yom HaShoah more than any other day. Why it ended up on Chav Zayin is another conversation. Part of that conversation is that, guess what? Chav Zayin Nissen happens to fall Bein Pesach LeAtzeres. Why is that significant? And now, concluding now with the final, to the best of my knowledge, example of the resonance of the Crusades into now the 20th century, because I Xerox for you at the bottom of the page the speech that was given by Rav Mordechai Nurak, who was appointed by the Speaker of the Israeli Knesset, Rabbi Yosef Sprintzak, to be the chairman of a subcommittee that would look into, in 1950 and 1951, how would the State of Israel commemorate the Holocaust. And he gets up on April 12, 1951, and he speaks to the Knesset, and he says that, yes, we decided, our subcommittee decided we should have a day, we should set aside a separate day, and that day, Dafka, should not be on Tisha B'Av, it should be a separate day. And there was a whole discussion about Dafka, what day it should be. And then we decided, last paragraph, Anu tzrichim livchor b'ta'arich muvhak, we have to choose a particular day. And there are three considerations given for why this day was chosen, the day that they ultimately ended up choosing, Chav Zayin Nissen. Number one, a day hamat'im gam lizman rov hashchitot shel Yahadut Europa. Most of the Jews were killed during the springtime. If you do a grid from 39 to 45 in spring, summer, fall, and winter, most Jews in the Holocaust, in the Second World War, were killed in the springtime. So we want to have a Yom HaShoah sometime in the springtime. That's number one. Number two, ulemered hagita'ot shehitkayem b'chodesh Nisan. It's a whole conversation about how in the early years of the state they needed to link the commemoration of the Holocaust with the Mered HaGita'ot. You see what the name of the day was first called in the big letters? Hachlata b'dvar kviyat Yom HaShoah Mered HaGita'ot. That's not what it's called today. Today it's called Yom HaShoah v'HaGevurah. It's a whole other conversation. Originally, Mered HaGita'ot. When was Mered HaGita'ot? In Chodesh Nissan, the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, the ghetto Mered, the, with the Hei HaYediyah, started on Erev Pesach, on Yud Dalad Nissan. So it was in Chodesh Nissan. So we also want to link it. We want to link it also to that event. Umishum kach b'chara v'adat ha-Knesset b'sof Chodesh Nissan b'yemei ha-Sfira shebohem. What happened during the days of Sfira? Not during the days of Sfira, Mesu Talmidei Rabbi Akiva Zuchuso Yogen Aleinu. That's not what he adduces. Why? What's the significance of B'yemei HaSfira? Shebohem hushmedu al yidei avot avotehem shel hanatzim anshei mas'ei hatzlav kihilot kedoshot rabot. Because you know what happened during Sfira? The Crusades happened during Sfira. Who are the Crusades? The Elta Zaydis of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. So what are we going to do? If we have a whole year to choose from, we're going to choose during this time. Number one, most Jews died. Number two, we have to link it to the ghetto uprising. And number three, it fits. It fits into Sfira. Why does it fit into Sfira? Because it's the last example of a long line of examples of persecution of Jews. So it starts in 1096, and we acknowledge, we associate ourselves with 1096, even in 1951, when we're ready to choose a particular day on which to commemorate the Shoah. So therefore, this time of year, Agam today is Lag BaOmer, so it's a shtickle respite. This time of year is a sad time of year. It's a time of Sfira, it's a time of Avelis, when we should take a moment to reflect on the tzaris that have occurred, that have been so much of a part of the Jewish historical experience, and we should bezeicha only for simchas, the chlalu befrat, as soon as possible, b'mehera b'yameinu.